for someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Journey that we have tagged Star Wars. Star Wars. Star Wars. We're just getting ourselves in the mood. There is a special anointing on Daystar Christian Center during this season. I'll encourage everyone to tap into it. It's the spirit of grace and supplication. It's the spirit of prayer. And if you will just tap into it, you will break through like you never broke through before. The first thing is you will pray like you never prayed before. Even outside the church, on your own. If you tap into this grace that's on the church now, you'll pray like you never prayed before. And you'll just notice that you're going to break through like you never broke through before. Luke chapter 11. Read the first verse. It says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your disciples asked you, teach us to pray. And here, Lord, this morning are also your disciples asking again, teach us to pray. Lord, because we know that prayer works the secret to your power. And so, Lord, thank you because you taught them to pray. And we know that they prayed and power was released on their behalf. We know from the Acts of the Apostles that even after you left, they prayed and Pentecost happened. They prayed, miracles, signs and wonders happened. They prayed and the places where they prayed shook with an earthquake. Lord, Paul and Silas prayed at the midnight. The prison shook with an earthquake and they were freed. Lord, Peter was kept in prison. Prayer was made continuously of the church for him. He was supernaturally delivered. Lord Jesus, we are asking, grant us an entrance into this dimension of power through prayer. As we share this morning and as we pray together, Lord, as we move into the month of November, and as we pray like you have led us to pray, let power be released on our behalf. Let's be ushered into a dimension of favor that we never experienced before. Let's be ushered into a dimension of miracles, of signs, of wonders, of supernatural manifestations like we never experienced before. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Sharing this morning to encourage us that as we go into this season of prayer, we should have the kind of an attitude that believes that we cannot be refused. I cannot be refused. It's not going to be a trial and error effort. This one is coming out with definite results. If you are not sure your prayer will be answered, there's no point praying. But if you come to the point where you know something must move on your behalf, then let's go on this prayer journey together. I'm absolutely certain my prayers will be answered. I'm too sure some things are shifting on my behalf in the realm of the spirit. I'm too certain, too sure about it. Too sure. Some days back, I woke up in the middle of the night and woke my wife up. Let's pray. Let's pray. Because the anointing is just there. The grace is just there for the prayer. Let's pray. The first prayer point, let's pray for open heavens. Let the heavens be open. Let's pray. As we started, I just heard outside, the rain started falling. I said, that's a good sign. This is a rain of blessing. The prayer point was open heavens, and rain began to fall. The heavens are really, really open. Amen. Now, this is a season for remarkable answers to prayer. I mean, if you never had testimonies of answered prayer before, you will have during this season. Remarkable answers to prayer. Jesus was praying in a certain place. After he was through with the prayer, the disciples came. which meant that the disciples were not praying. He was the only one who was praying. Only God knows what the disciples were doing. They may have been arguing amongst themselves about who was going to be the best, who was going to be chief amongst them. You know, they used to argue a lot about so many things. I don't know what they were doing, or maybe they were just enjoying themselves. Maybe they were cracking jokes. Maybe they were eating food, or some of them were even catching a nap, as Peter, James, and John did at the Garden of Gethsemane. Only God knew what they, maybe they were seeing Esther. When you have seen Esther, you are seeing Esther, right? But only God knows what they were doing. But I think that some of them looked at Jesus and it just dawned on them that this was the beginning of the difference between them. Jesus will be casting out devils, they'll be running away. Jesus will be healing the sick, they'll be looking at him. This must be, they must have looked at him again and again and again, and they just came to the conclusion, this must be the key to the manifestation of the supernatural power of God in the life of Jesus Christ. So after he was through, they came to him and said, Jesus, you are supernatural, we are natural. You are extraordinary, we are ordinary. We are tired of being ordinary. The difference between the extraordinary and the ordinary is the extra. We think that the extra here is the prayer. Teach us to pray. We think it seems like the source of your spiritual power is this prayer. So Jesus, take us into the school of prayer. And the first thing he did was to take them through what we call the Lord's Prayer today. I would rather call it the disciples' prayer. It was not his prayer. It was them that he was teaching prayer. But we'll skip over that for now and look into a parable that he shared with them from verse 5. Luke 11 from verse 5. I went through this early on this week and I just told myself after reading this, I said, I cannot be refused. As we go into the season of prayer, I can't be refused. Let's read from verse 5. It says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. Verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Let's just check through the principles here from verse 5. Which of you shall have a friend? In other words, the basis for asking is a relationship. In the disciples' prayer, the first part of the teaching, he taught them to pray this way, our Father which art in heaven. A relationship first. A relationship first. There are people in the Bible that God called friends. Abraham was a friend of God. Now, I want to enter into that dimension of friendship. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8, that the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God, but the prayer of the righteous is his delight. So a relationship is the basis. A relationship is the basis. The sacrifice, the prayer of a wicked man, of a sinner, it says, is an abomination to God. The more the sinner prays, the angrier God gets. God is not interested in the prayer of the sinner. The only prayer he is interested in, first of all, is the prayer of repentance. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm a sinner. God, I acknowledge my sins. God, forgive me my sins. I by the blood of Jesus, wash my sins away. Come into my heart. I surrender my life to you now. Then after that, you can bring the other prayer points. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to God, but the prayer of the righteous is his delight. He's interested in the prayer of the righteous man. In James chapter 5, verse 16, says in the B part of that verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. A righteous man availeth much. A righteous man, a man who lives right with God, a man whose life is right with God. So the basis is a relationship. We are coming into this prayer season, on the basis of our relationship with God by the blood of Jesus and by the name of Jesus. Because Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he says the Father will do it for you. So we are coming on the basis of a relationship. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? The midnight hour is not a normal hour for you to be walking about. By the time a man begins to run around at midnight, it is either something is pursuing him or he is pursuing something. The thing that characterizes this hour is desperation. It's an hour of need. It's an hour of hardship. It's an hour of deprivation. It's an hour of lack. This man lacked. This man was desperate. This man had a situation that just had to be resolved. I have come to realize that God doesn't grant just any kind of prayers. Like I normally say, God does not grant wishes, he grants desires. God grants desperate prayers. The man came at midnight. The man came during the dark hour. The man came at an unholy, quote and unquote, unholy hour. The man came at the normal time when anybody should not be moving around because he had a problem that nobody else had. He was desperate. He was motivated. He was fervent. He was desperate. He had to get this problem solved. I looked through the Bible. I remember, for example, that Acts chapter 16 verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. If this is the midnight hour in any area of your life, I want you to understand the midnight hour is your potential hour of miracles. It's your hour of destiny. It's your hour of power. It's your hour of deliverance. It's your hour of success. It's your hour of breakthrough. Something must give way now. Hallelujah. So, we're asking us, for example, to have three solid and definite and specific prayer points. Personal, for the prayer season. There must just be one area of your life where you need God. If you don't need God in any area of your life, this prayer season is not for you. Prayers, there's even no need for you to pray. But if Jesus needed God, then you need God. If you don't need God for yourself, you need God for other people. If you don't need God for yourself, you need God for other people. Jesus prayed to the point where he cried with tears. Loud crying, the Bible says. So before he could be heard. If we need the power of God. Living a powerless life in the first place is wrong for Christianity. Jesus said, tarry in the city. Don't go anywhere until you have received the promise of the Father, which I spoke of. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come on you. He says, and you'll be witnesses unto me. For Jesus' sake, without the power of God, you live a barren spiritual life. You may be doing so much in the natural, but you don't bring forth spiritual or supernatural fruit. Lord, I'm tired of living a powerless Christian life. We give so many natural excuses for situations that have supernatural origin or supernatural problems. We give so many natural excuses for problems that have supernatural origin. For example, they sack you at the office. Say, is the man, is that boss? The man has always hated me. It's not the man. It's the devil that is pushing the man. The earlier you remember or realize the source of your problems, the better for you. Because Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, wicked spirits in heavenly realms. You say, the reason why people are not coming is because we don't have signboard. That's okay. But I'm telling you, when the power of God comes on your life, whether signboard is there or not, they will come. Praise the Lord. You don't agree with me. That's the plain truth. When the power of God comes on you, like someone said, catch fire and people will come and watch you burn. Wherever you are, even if you are in the village, for God's sake, if you have what they are looking for, they will come to you. So we look for natural excuses for problems that have supernatural origin. I'm tired of a powerless, empty, void Christian life. If Jesus himself said, don't dare until you have received the power, what business do I have going about without the power? Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. You have no business going about until you are anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. If you go about, you will just be jamming locked doors all over the place. You will give human beings as the excuse. You will give your grandmother at the village, or your mother-in-law, or your stepmother at the village as excuse. But the truth is, if the power of God is in your life, there is no witch in the whole world that can handle you. That's the plain truth. If the power of God is there, there is no witch anywhere who can handle you. So, the point is, this must be the midnight hour in one area of your life or the other. The hour when something must give way. The hour when the siege must be lifted over your life. The hour when you must shatter, break through the power of the devil, break through the host of hell, and get some new testimony. Thank God for old ones, amen. The prayer we prayed 5 years ago, we got breakthrough 5 years ago. We've been sharing that testimony for the past 5 years. It's time to get another testimony. We've shared some testimonies until they became worn out. Some testimonies are worn out. It's time for a new testimony. Hallelujah. When you were about, before you got your present job, you were so desperate. You prayed like you never prayed. The day you got the letter of appointment, you were excited because it was the salary you never got in your life before. But presently, I'm sure you understand that the thing is not even enough anymore. Your budget has already overtaken the new salary. Now, something new must happen now. Hallelujah. Something must give way now. The man rose up at midnight and went to his friend and said, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves. He asked. That's the first thing. Secondly, he was very specific in his prayer. He was very specific in his prayer. What things soever ye desire, Mark 11:24 says. What things? Things. Not vague things or general things. What things? Specific things. Specific, definite things you desire. The man was specific. He wanted loaves of bread. He didn't say, "Please give me bread." He said, "Give me three loaves of bread." During this season, you must be very specific. You must be very specific. If you are asking God for breakthrough in your finances, you must be very specific on the figures that you want from God. If you want anything, be very specific. I've read over and over the story of Pastor Cho, pastor of the largest church in the world in Korea. When he said he was a young pastor struggling, poor, wretched, with only a few members, living in a one-room on a mat, one-room apartment, on a mat. Then one day he prayed to God, "God, if I will do this visitation very well, I need a bicycle. So Lord, give me a bicycle. Then Lord, I need also a table on which I can read my Bible and do my study. Then, of course, before I can use the table, I need a chair. So Lord, also give me a chair. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe I receive." He confessed different verses of the Bible. But it says, unfortunately, he was praying this prayer and praying and praying. For 6 months, nothing happened. So one day, he said he cried out to God out of frustration. "God, I know that you live in timelessness. One day before you is what, like 1,000 years? 1,000 years is like one day. I know you may have decided that at your own time you will answer this prayer. But you see, if you stay too long, I will be dead. And I won't need the table and the chair and bicycle anymore. I don't understand. Please bring these things on time." Ah. He said, God spoke to him in a still small voice. And said, "When you started this prayer 6 months ago, I heard you. And I already decided I was going to give you the answer to your prayer. But I have a problem. You want the bicycle?" He said, "Yes." Now, the question is, which bicycle do you want? There are many kinds of bicycles. Which type of bicycle do you want? And then you say you want a desk. He said, "Yeah." "What kind of desk?" "You want a chair?" He said, "Yeah." "What kind of chair?" "There are different kinds of chairs." The man said, "What? I'm sorry. I want an American type bicycle with gear. I want a desk made out of Philippine mahogany. And then I want a chair with a roller at the tip so that I can push myself around like a big shot." Within 2 weeks, he got the 3 of them. Within 2 weeks of being specific. Within 2 weeks of being specific. Hallelujah. You must be very specific about what you want. Very, very, if it's, and you have to write them down. Describe them in such a way that God himself can't miss it. God himself can't be mixed up on what he's supposed to do. Be very, very specific. Very, very specific. In April of this year, I wrote on a sheet of paper, I want a Mercedes-Benz saloon, 230E, and I wrote the amount I want for it is 400,000 naira. And I stuck it by my bedside. Stuck it by the bedside. Put it there. And whenever I looked at it, I was, in Jesus' name, I receive you. The day the thing would come to pass, it was just one person who just said, wait. God is speaking to me. Give me my checkbook. And wrote out a check. And I was thinking, since God was moving on him, I was thinking he was going to write maybe a check for 10 or 20,000 naira to contribute to my car. Then he held the checkbook, wanted to write, stopped, said, I'm sorry for disturbing this discussion, but God is disturbing my brain with some figures. I say, amen. At that point, I thought the thing was going to range between 50 to 100,000 naira. At the end of the day, he looked at me and said, I'll give you a check for 400,000 naira. The exact amount that I wrote there, you know. And then before, I had seen the color of the car that I was supposed to buy. So we went to the market and bought exactly that color, exactly the make, exactly the whatever it was supposed to be. Now, when that one happened, I said, wow. So if I had written a higher figure and a bigger car, that's exactly how it would have happened. So I upgraded. Hallelujah. I upgraded the thing. I upgraded the amount. I even separated them. I separated money from vehicle. I wrote the Jeep I want. I wrote the saloon I want. I wrote the whatever. Then I wrote a check to myself in my name and wrote the amount of money that I want. And that's exactly what I want. Amen. So he said 3 loaves of bread. He was very, very specific about the prayer. Verse 6 said, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. A friend of mine is come on a journey. I have nothing to set. In other words, man, I have some obligation to meet. I have things to do. And I don't have the wherewithal to meet my obligations. And that's the truth about most of us anyway. We have families to take care of. I have school fees to pay. I have things to do. I have assignments to carry out. I have business to do. I have investments to make. I have parents to take care of. I have dreams to carry out. In fact, for me, for example, whom I'm in ministry, there are destinies that are tied to my own. Destinies tied. There are people who need healing. Daystar Christian Center has many guests who are coming. In the next 1 year, we have over 3,000 of them who are coming. They're going to need healing. Lord, we have guests who are coming. What do we give them? Some of them are going to be sick. They need healing. We must get the power of God by which they must be healed. Lord, some are coming with marital problems. The power of God must intervene in their marriage. Some are coming with financial problems. God, you must intervene. Miracles must happen here in the next 1 year. You understand? Miracles must happen here. People who have problems are coming here. Blind people are coming who need to see. Deaf people are coming who need to hear. I have a guest from somewhere. These needs must be met. There are destinies tied to my own. For God's sake, there are people who must hear me on TV and be saved from suicide. The first broadcast I did on radio, someone was saved from suicide who ran straight down to our office. And since then, we have had at least 3 other people who were saved from suicide just because they had the broadcast. One was holding a bottle of poison like this, about to drink it, a Muslim. He gave his life to Christ live there. God, I have destinies tied to my own, but I don't have what to give them. Lord, I need something. I like what Peter said that day at the gate called Beautiful. He said, silver and gold I have none. He said, but what I have, he said, I will give you. And the thing he had was more than silver and gold. The thing he had was supernatural power. Listen, you can't meet all the financial needs of the people around you, but simply by laying hands on them and praying for them, God can give them breakthroughs. That's what they really, really, really need from us. Amen. You can't meet all the financial needs of your family members. You are not El Shaddai. You are not Jehovah Jireh. Hallelujah. But you are the representative of God. When you carry his power, you can pray for them. And the power of God can move on their behalf. I understand that in the Orient, in the East, Eastern countries there, I understand that if a stranger comes to your house like that, you are under obligation to take care of the stranger. I understand that it's a thing of shame. A thing of shame for you not to be able to take care of your stranger. This man, in fact, they say if this man did not take care of his visitor that day, he would have lost his dignity. He would have lost his honor in the society. The terminology that they use in the East is losing face. He would have lost face. You won't lose face. I said you won't lose face. This man was on a situation where his dignity was about to be lost. You know, his sense of worth, his sense of value was about to be lost. His sense of honor was about to go. God, you must move on my behalf. Where you have experienced shame, God will turn it into your fame. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Now, that's the part of the man. Verse 7, what is the response? It says, and he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I don't know about you, but somewhere along the line, I think you get to realize that life does not always give you what you want the first time. Life does not always give you what you require the first time you ask for it. That's what I've gotten to discover. Oh yes, all of us would have gone very far. We would have gone very, very far. When we were children, we thought that was how life was. We thought you got everything at first attempt. Eh? First attempt. We had dreams, all kinds of dreams. But as you grow up, life comes and through reality slaps you in the face, takes your dream from you. And then you begin to hear people saying, man, it's not easy. It's not easy. I heard of a man several years ago who wrote at Idomoto Park. He just voluntarily just poured out his heart on the wall. He wrote there with white chalk, man is born to suffer. That was his summary of the experience of life. I can imagine the frustration. I can imagine the depression. I can imagine the confusion. I can imagine how everything they told him about life did not work out at the end of the day. Just like one lecturer of mine told us when we were in secondary school, it was my chemistry teacher. He said, look, do everything you can to pass your school certificate examination, because that is the greatest obstacle of your life. Once you get over this one, the struggle is over. He said, if you get into the high institution, you will find out that just attending 3 hours of lecture in a week and then reading, just attending some lectures and then doing 3 hours of study in a week will get you over. You know, in fact, sometimes you can afford to miss your lectures. It's really so easy. The greatest obstacle of your life is the school certificate examination. I bought the idea. Fought so hard for school certificate, got into the high institution. The first semester, I took it so easy. I took it in my stride. I mean, there was this elderly person, was also a Christian brother, very matured, so many years older than myself. As soon as we hit the first semester, the man started reading. I wake up in the night and I will see the man reading so well. I wondered what the problem was with him, because my chemistry lecturer had told us that it wasn't really, you didn't need to do such terrible work at the high institution. Just 3 hours of study and you were going to be over. And this man was reading right in the middle of the night. Well, I thought about it again. It must have been as a result of his experiences. Given his age, he must have seen so much in life that he did not want to take any chances at all. He was reading through the night. But we wrote the examinations for the first semester. I was shocked. I failed one course. I had ordinary pass in several others. I was mesmerized. I didn't understand what was happening. Then I realized that it was not as easy as my chemistry teacher said it. Maybe he was just trying to toast us to give everything to the school certificate examination, I found out that each semester was superior to school cert in the higher institution. It's not as easy as they said. Now this man has come. He's desperate. He wants something. Can you hear the man inside? Can you hear the man who is in a position to help him, in a position to open the door, in a position to do it? Can you hear what the man is saying? It's not usual that the first time you carry your proposal to that company is the first time they give you the assignment. It's not usual that the first time you show up, I want a job, is when they just deliver the job to you like that. It just always seems as if there are some barriers. Always seems. You hear what the man said? He said, trouble me not. I will trouble you. The door is now shut. The word now shows that the door was not shut before. I don't know, but sometimes I've come to the experience where I just found out that it was when it was my turn that things changed. Because I see some people who have gone through the same door. I hear the testimonies of people who have broken through the same level. But it seems as if I have barriers, growth barriers, progress barriers. He says the door is now, how can it be that when it is my turn, that the door will now be shut? He said the door is now shut. Now, the door is shut means there is no way. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot rise and give thee. Cannot with a note of finality. In other words, he should simply have said, I won't come. I won't rise up and give you. But verse 8, Jesus gives us the key. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Hallelujah. So it means that the door that is shut can be opened. In fact, the person who shut the door is the one who will open it. Every door locked against your life, shut against your life, maritally, financially, career-wise, by the power of the Spirit of God, during this season of prayer, they will open for you. Amen. Whatever the barrier has been, the point beyond which you can't progress, or you've not been able to progress, during this season, you will go beyond that point. Amen. This is a season of open doors for us. Said the door is shut. Jesus said, if he won't rise because he is his friend, he will rise because of what? Because of his importunity. Importunity there, direct from the Greek word used, means shamelessness. Shamelessness. It means boldness. It means insistence. Means persistence. Because the man threw caution to the wind. The man let go. The man realized that this thing is not going to be easy. And he made up his mind, whatever it will take, I will give it. You will open this door, or else you won't sleep till tomorrow morning. Whatever is troubling me outside here will be troubling you inside there. You can't be sleeping while I'm here. I'm in trouble. However, this door will open today. Is that because of his importunity? Because his mind was made up. And the way he was talking, the man inside realized that he was in trouble. The man inside realized, unless we give this man what he wants, we won't sleep here today. In the next 4 weeks, you must come into that attitude. In the next 4 weeks, you must come into that dimension where both heaven and hell know that you have come to the point of no return. You have come to the point where something must give way. He said, because of his importunity, he says, he will rise. And he will do what? He will give him as many as he needed. You know, after going through that amount of suffering to get your breakthrough, if the man gives you just one loaf, you will appreciate it. And you could just take that one loaf and go home sharing testimonies. It's not easy, oh. If you see what I saw, this one loaf is a breakthrough. Nonsense. He said, I want how many? 3 loaves. So even if the man opened the door a little bit and offered him 1 loaf, the man wouldn't have gone. This one had made up his mind, 3 loaves or nothing else. 3 loaves or no rest. Sometimes we are satisfied with half-answered prayer. We are satisfied when God is just in the process of answering the prayer. He has not finished. We abandon the project and go on to something else. This one, every single thing you specify will have to be given to you. In the next 4 weeks, He will give him as many as need. In other words, if the man even changes, my, okay, I don't want 3 again. He's 6 I want. The house owner will have given him. Because if you don't give him, it's trouble for everybody around. Made up his mind he was going to get it. In Matthew chapter 11, you know, in verse 11, Jesus was talking about John the Baptist. And then in verse 12, you know, he was talking about John the Baptist in previous verses. In verse 11, he said that John the Baptist was the greatest among all the children of men, all the sons of men, but that the least in the kingdom of God will be greater than John the Baptist. The very next verse, verse 12, he says, from the time of the prophets until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. He said, but people have been pressing into the kingdom by force. He said, but the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God has allowed violence. He says, the violent will take it by force. What was he saying? To get into the dimension that John the Baptist got into, and then to get into the dimension of those who are greater than John the Baptist, you need to have an attitude of spiritual violence. It doesn't come easy. John was spiritually violent. Spiritually violent. I'm not talking about you breaking your TV and fighting everybody else that you have find around. It's not physical violence. It's spiritual violence we are talking about. Coming to the point where you are ready to kill the devil in order to get your breakthrough. You are ready to strangulate the devil. If it was possible to kill the devil, we would have killed him during the Star Wars. But it's not yet time for him to die. But we will break his bones. Something is about to give way here. In Jesus' mighty name. We will go into this prayer season with that attitude. I cannot be refused. There are things God has revealed to me that are mine by destiny. I can't be refused. God forbid that I should be refused. The devil that will hinder me has not yet been born. Not yet been created or manufactured. I can't be refused. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. If your heart is sick, it's time for us to go for healing. If where hope is fulfilled, the Bible says it's a tree of life. Everything comes alive. Even your countenance changes. It shows on you when your dreams are coming to pass. It's a whole, we were created to dominate, not to be dominated. So when situations and circumstances harass us, dominate us, it creates frustration inside us. Frustration because we're not created to be dominated. Whatever has harassed you until now, you will turn around and harass that thing during this prayer season in the mighty name of Jesus. But I declare in Jesus' name, during this season, you will not be refused. During this season, the doors will be opened for you. During this season, you will be fulfilled. You will be satisfied. You will have cause for celebration. You will not go back home the same. I believe so. You won't go back to your job the same. You won't go back to business the same. This man did not go home the same. He came to this man's house empty. But when he was going back, he was carrying some things. In Jesus' mighty name, heaven will deliver some things to you. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, let's talk about Star Wars. Ushers, I want this given out. The prayer bulletin. Or do we all have these yet? Ushers? Fast. Come on. Fast. Achieving results. We are repositioning for success. Star Wars. We have the introduction there that simply states that before the church started, like I've shared before, God told us from Isaiah 37 verse 30, and this shall be a sign unto thee, ye shall eat this year such as groweth of itself, and the second year that which springeth of the same, and in the third year sow ye and reap, and plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. Therefore, according to God's prophetic agenda, this is our time to possess new territories and to multiply. I like to emphasize this, or just mention this, or explain that prophecies attract the devil. As soon as God talks to you, the devil is going to contend with the thing God said. In Genesis, God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of the fruit of the tree. The devil showed up and says, did God tell you not to eat of the fruit of the tree? God didn't tell you the whole truth. In Matthew 4, God spoke to Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. As soon as he left the place, the devil showed up and said, if you are the son of God. Well, that's exactly what God just said. God said, this is my beloved son. The devil says, if you are the son of God, turn this stone into bread. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, Apostle Paul told Timothy, Pastor Timothy, he said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies that have gone before on thee, that thou mightest by them war a good warfare. In other words, Timothy, don't think that these prophecies are going to bring themselves to come to pass. You will have to fight, Timothy, with these prophecies before they come to pass. God's word has come to Daystar. In the third year, it will be our season to expand, to enlarge, to multiply. Interestingly, God's brought so many people. God brought ministers last year. God's brought some of them this year. God brought them from Atlanta, brought them from all around to come and minister to us and to confirm the things that God already said about us. This is our time. I said this is our time. I have no doubt whatsoever that this is Daystar season. And when you pray during your season, God will answer you. This is our own time. And the idea God's given us is in Exodus chapter 12, where God destroyed the firstborn of man and cattle and executed judgment on the principalities of hell all over Egypt in just one night, the Passover night. And from what happened in the realm of the spirit that night, over 6 million human beings were released in one night from under the control of the devil with so much wealth. Star Wars is a 21-day prayer and fasting program scheduled for 1st to 21st November 1998 to destroy demonic strongholds over territories that belong to us. We shall witness a supernatural release of people and of wealth. And this will usher in a season of unprecedented breakthroughs for us as a church and as individuals in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Let's go through the guidelines together. A 24 hours a day prayer chain shall be observed throughout the period of the fast. Each day will consist of 12 two-hour segments. 12 a.m. to 2 a.m., 2 a.m. to 4 a.m., 4 a.m. to 6 a.m., 6 a.m. to 8 a.m., 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., and so on. And in just a few minutes, you'll be booking one segment during which you will pray. We will make our bookings ahead for each week. You make your booking for 1 week in advance. Today we make the booking. Today and on Wednesday we make the booking for the first week, you know, of the prayer exercise. And next Sunday we'll make our bookings for the following week. All right. B, there will be night vigil from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. on Mondays through Fridays at the church auditorium here. Participants are to attend at least on Friday and one other night in the week. The Bible says those who sow in tears will reap in joy. It's a season of sacrifice. C, participants are expected to attend the daily prayer meeting and breaking of bread at 5 to 7 p.m. at the church auditorium, except on Saturdays and Sundays when this will hold at home fellowship centers. Want us to take note of that. 5 to 7 p.m. we'll have corporate prayers and we'll be sharing the communion every day for 21 days. But we'll do it Monday to Friday here at the auditorium and Saturdays and Sundays at our home fellowship centers. D, participants are required to pray at least 15 minutes into the next prayer segment to ensure continuity. So you just had 15 minutes to your segment where it's like you're handing over the baton. You don't stop altogether. When you want to hand over the baton at athletics, you run together for a few meters so you don't lose steam. E, the church will be open from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. daily except Saturdays and Sundays for prayers. Well, that would be optional. If you want to come and pray in the church, the church auditorium is open for prayer, but we won't have the corporate prayers that we like we stated there. But the church will be open for people who want to pray. F, participants are to observe complete abstinence from food, but they may drink water only until the fast is broken at 4 p.m. So you may break your fast at 4 p.m. Before you come to the church at 5 for us to pray together. And you are allowed to drink water during the day. Water and only water. Not colored water. Not sugarized water. Not gari water. Amen. That's also important. Hey. All right. And G, participants are to spend a good proportion of the period of their prayer segment in worship. We have people who are exempted, pregnant women, nursing mothers, those on regular medication with diagnosed illness, not those taking multivitamins, those on regular medication with illness that's been diagnosed by a doctor, they are excused from the fast. However, we still expect them to attend the prayer meetings and breaking of bread every day. Please inform a pastor if you fall into this category. That's important. So that we don't harass you if we find you or discover you in the town drinking yogurt. It's important. Then there's good advice. Spend a lot of time in prayer during this season. Very important. It shouldn't just be a religious exercise. Plenty of time, as much time as possible. Two, meditate on the word daily and record the insights you receive from the Holy Spirit. Very, very important for you to give you direction. Three, take time to listen to audio tapes, watch videos, and read books on spiritual themes that will edify your spirit. In fact, specifically, I have the impression to ask you to get as many of the tapes we have preached before in this church. You don't get the best out of a message the first time. You don't, not even the second time. It takes you at least 6 times before you get the best out of any message on cassette. I want to encourage that. Spend a lot of this time listening to these audio tapes, all the prophecies we've uttered before, all the revelations and insights we have given. They will help you during this season. Get video messages on video, watch them, buy books, read them, feed your spirit. Very, very crucial. There are books, for example, in the past week, I read 2 books from the pastor of the largest church in the world. The first time I read these books was 9 years ago. But then this week, while praying, I took these books, read them again. They came alive as if I had never read those books before. Fresh insight. It's a season for that. And then finally, maintain good looks so you don't lose the reward of your fast. If you read Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18, Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. When they fast, they disfigure their faces and they walk around so that people can greet them for fasting. Jesus said the greeting that they will greet them is their reward for the fast. They will have their reward already. He said, but when ye fast, he said, anoint your face. He said, wash yourself, anoint your face. Don't look morose until somebody asks you, ah, what's wrong? Say, the Lord is my strength. You just want them to know you are fasting. For God's sake, look good, shine. Amen. Your Father who sees you in secret, Jesus said, he will reward you openly. In Jesus' name. Our prayer themes will be praying for Africa, destroying the territorial spirits of the devil over the nations of Africa. We'll pray for revival. We'll pray for their governments. We'll pray for their prosperity. And as we pray, I have a revelation from God. He will open the doors of those nations to us. And before long, we'll be ministering in those nations on radio, through TV, and we'll be holding powerful seminars and some at the instance of governments of these nations who will invite us. Amen. And then we'll also be praying for Daystar Christian Center. Be praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just like what happened on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 saved in 1 day. 120 people say prayed. 3,000 were saved in one day. We're more than 120 in Daystar. A few days after Pentecost, another 5,000 were saved. That's the dimension Daystar is going into. In Jesus' name, we'll disorganize, neutralize satanic and occultic strongholds over the city. We'll declare that every prophetic word offered on our church should come to pass. Pray for revival. Pray for harvest of souls and finances. Pray for the gifts of the Spirit and signs and wonders to be manifested. Pray for Pastor Sam and his family, the associate pastors, and the leaders of the church and their families. We pray for our building project and for families in the church. We pray also for Nigeria. We pray for success, power, and then you will pray for yourself. Establish three definite goals that describe the kind of turnaround that must take place in your life during this season. Praise the Lord. Like we stated there, the specific prayer points for each day will be declared ahead of time. Next Sunday, we're just starting with Thanksgiving. Next Sunday, Thanksgiving, praise, and celebration. Because before we start the prayer, we already know our prayer will be answered. We already know breakthroughs are coming here. So we just start with praise and celebration and worship and Thanksgiving. 12 midnight next Saturday, the first set of people will lift up. In fact, I will encourage everybody to try and make it. 12 midnight, sound an alarm in the realm of the spirit. Daystar Christian Center has penetrated into the realm of the supernatural to disorganize the power of the devil, to root out, plug down, cast down, destroy, and then to establish some new things. Amen. It's going to be a war cry, a battle cry, 12 midnight on Saturday. And then when we come for the service in the morning, we'll continue. Praise the Lord. And those who take the segments in the night will take over and continue from that. We have a small sheet of paper that you will just write your name and tick the segments during which you'll be praying for the first week. Praise the Lord. We expect the spiritually mature ones around us to tackle the difficult hours, the ones in the night, and then also tick hours during the day. Ushers, do we have this paper? The coupon. Prayer slot coordination. We don't have them. Pastor Steve, we don't have these yet. Are you ready?
Yes,
sir. Gideon said, "He who is afraid, let him go home." Hallelujah. Somebody says, "Why do we want to fight the devil? Leave the devil alone now." But the problem with the devil is that he won't leave you alone. Whether you fight or not, he's fighting you. So the earlier you decide to fight, the better. Praise the Lord. Let's rise up to our feet and pray for a few minutes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you just ask God for grace? That's all the prayer I want you to pray. Lord, as we start this prayer and fasting program, Lord, I'm asking you for grace. Let me pray like I have never prayed in my life before. But Lord, let me have definite testimonies of this season. Something must change. Something will change. Lord, something will change in my life. But I'm just asking you, give me the grace through this fasting and this prayer season. And thank you because something special and something new is going to happen. I give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus on every single person who is partaking in this prayer program. I ask, Father, Lord, every plan of the devil to hinder us will fail. In the mighty name of Jesus, during this season, we banish sickness. During this season, we banish physical weakness. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, during this season, we bind every spirit of distraction. We bind every spirit of confusion in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we receive grace to pray like we have never prayed before. And Lord, on each person, on each family, on each business, I prophesy this season is a season of breakthroughs. We give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Praise the Lord.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@dashng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.